If you'd go in your Bible, please, to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 11. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you that we can do that. We can look to you. So deal with us. Honor your word, honor your saving grace. Honor that which, here we are, God, honor your wonderful word again, that which enables us to honor you, to understand you. And our God, we're going to thank you. So thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the Gospel of Mark, they wanted to know God's wonderful working as he was working with the fig tree. So when we come to chapter 11 and in verse 22, 11 and 22, and it's a wonderful little verse, easy to remember. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, be having, present tense, be having faith in God. Looking to God. And so faith, it reaches out. Faith means nothing in me, nothing in you, nothing about us, anything in us, with us, for us. No, faith means I got to trust something or someone else. So have faith, where? In God. Let God be your inspiration for your perspiration. Let God inspire your heart. Looking to God. Now, hang on to that thought, having that. And we share together in the light of that God's awesomeness, the awe-inspiring one of the awful one. The awe of the awful one is awesome. And the word awe has to do with the words that want to have awe. What's awe? All kinds of ways to say things. Awe, feeling, fear, wonder, reverence, profoundness. What's profound? Very, very deep, profound. God is awesome, profound, very deep, awesomely. He's the inspiring one. That's what the word means, inspiring, awe, awesome, inspiring. Very, very deep, profound. Now, in order to just have a little sense of that, over to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. And may I pick up, please? And you'll catch the flavor of it. Psalm 92 and in verse 5. I'll read verse 4. For thou, Lord, hath made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep, awesome, profound, awesome. God's thoughts are very deep, used back way long time, 100 years ago, many times, back in the old days, of the depth of the ocean, of space, how ocean, what, 7 miles down off the Malaysia and that, off of South America, 7 miles, that's pretty deep, if you ask me. And looking up into space, where does it end? Wow. So God, it's very deep, your thoughts. And without turning there, you see what it says in verse 5, thy thoughts. And in your mind, think of Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. Has my thoughts and my ways, there's the word thoughts, are higher than the heavens. So, very deep, higher than the heavens, awesome, profound. Wow, I need that. We're talking about God, we're in his presence. Now, having said that, over if I can, please. Over if you would please, over to 145. Oh, 147. Psalm 147. Say it again. Psalm 147, picking up, please, in verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart. 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great, verse 5, is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite, infinite, God. And you have to think of that. If there's going to be over two, they know, I don't have an idea how they do it. 2 trillion galaxies, not stars. Now with a new telescope, who knows what's going to come up with? Wow. And then all the galaxies have stars. Trillions. He calls them all by name. He can weigh the dust in his hand as a balance. You know how much dust is in space in here? Just in this room. Not, no offense, it doesn't mean it isn't clean. Dust. He weigheth the dust in his hand. God is awesome, profound, very deep, wonderful. God, that's awesome. Aha. Now, sliding over as we move, over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, remember we shared it on Wednesday, I think, verse 9, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And we did that in predestination of that. Now, God's wonderful, wonderful thing that he did. In the process, the ship, you and I get saved, and God has a wonderful plan for our life. And that life, that's already planned, it's already there, it's already written up. The book's written, all you got to do is outlive it in the will of God. Now, verse 10. But, having said that, we don't understand it. No, we don't. It's more than we can understand. But God hath revealed them unto us, these awesome truths, by the Spirit. What is the Spirit of God going to do? Verse 10. He searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God's thoughts are very deep. His thoughts of you are higher than the heavens. His thoughts of you are more than the sand of the sea. I get you. All those things are true. So God, Spirit of God's going to do that. Aha. Uh-huh. Now, back over if you would to John 17. And as we're in the Gospel of John, we're ending the upper room experience. Christ is going to go out and be crucified. And chapter 17, verse 1, the disciples are able to listen. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, going to be crucified. Glorify thy Son, which he did and does, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now we did all of those things. And God's going to do that. Now, remember the prayer, John 17, is made so that the disciples, the 11 disciples that are in the room, could hear it. They could hear our Lord talking to God, God talking to God, and they could hear him. They could listen. What's the problem? Well, they're all terrified. They're going to go and lose everything. Their job, their hopes, their dreams, their aspirations, their leader. Everything, their life is basically terminated as far as this earth goes of enjoyment or anything. And God told them a wonderful, wonderful recipe. We shared all of these things, verse 33, chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you're surely going to have tribulation, trouble, squeezing. But be of good cheer, be of good courage. I have overcome the world. So be wonderfully, wonderfully encouraged. I'm going to do that. Now, how's he going to help them? What kind of solution, what kind of hope, what kind of words? He tells them and lets them listen in. God talking to God in Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus. And what do they need to know? Not our earthly, not the cross, not all the things around them that's happening, not the Pharisees, Sadducees, not all that. No, they need to understand God. Awesome, profound, deep God. Very, very deep. God is busy being God. And they need to understand when God is being busy being who he is, it is awesome, awful, 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 awesome one. And inspiring. It's inspiring. God's going to what? Verse 17, the glory that verse 4 and 5, we did them. God is going to glorify himself. Now, how are you going to get encouraged? Look, have faith in God. Look to God. Don't look at the world, don't look at yourself, don't look at your health, don't look at anywhere. Look to God. Look to God. That's what you do. God is the inspiration. God is the one. It's glory. He's glory. He's going to glorify. God is going to glorify because he's glorified. He's a glorious person, I should say. And God is going to go and do a wonderful thing. I need to understand what God is doing and who he is, who's doing it. God is. Awesome. That's right. Now, the disciples haven't got it yet. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, they're going to awaken. The Spirit of God, which we read in 1 Corinthians 2 and 10, the Spirit of God is going to help them in one moment awaken their heart to the awesome reality of what God has made possible by his death, burial and resurrection on Calvary's cross. He's made something wonderfully possible for humans. Chapter 17, verse 3, eternal life. What's eternal life? Verse 17, verse 3, eternal life is to know God and the Lord Jesus Christ whom he sent. So what's eternal life? What's so awesome? God is. How are we going to be inspired? Where do you need to look at solving your ills and aches and health and wealth and coming and going and the world dilemmas and our country's dilemmas? Where are you going to go? Got to go to God. Got to go to God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, oh, they're going to see it, but not yet. Not yet. They will. So I could say that until you, if you aren't saved, you won't know it. All the stuff we do, go right over your head, right through your ears, right through. That's what it does. Doesn't stay, forget it. Like the parable of the sower on Sunday night. Now, having said that, but, being a believer, I don't want it to pass through my ears. I want to catch it. So therefore, be still and know that I am God, he said. And let have faith in God. Look to God. Let God be who he is in a most awesome way. Now, having said that, let's have an exercise from yesterday, and then we'll come forward. Go back over with me, please, over in your Bible to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. And you would recall in history of Israel, they were in the wilderness, Mount Sinai, and in the process, Moses is going up and down the mountain ultimately, and in the process, he's up in the mountain, getting the table of, read verse 31:18, and he gave unto Moses, 31:18, Exodus. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tablets, tablets of testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. The Ten Commandments on the two stones, God wrote them with his own finger, as it were. God put the words on those stones. So now, having said that, now that's an awesome thing. Our Lord Jesus Christ, John 17, is in the upper room, but he's going to go out to the cross and they can't follow him. They're going to have to all draw back. Now, having said that, here's Moses up there, and they should be encouraged he has to go to the garden, the trials, and the crucifixion. But they aren't. And here's the people of Israel. Moses, where's Moses? Moses is bringing forth an understanding, an understanding of God for them to understand and enjoy God. Chapter 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, make us gods like in Egypt, which shall go before us. For this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. He's there. And now what did they want? They wanted a golden calf. That's what they wanted. A calf, a cow, an ox. That's what they wanted. And they wanted that because that's what they were used to. They lived all those years in Egypt, parading them around and marching and seeing them, making them. Verse 8. And they did that. Then they have turned aside quickly, making the golden calf. And they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, going after the golden calf. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, plural, which, remember, Egypt had many gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So they went, and verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, is a stiff-necked people. So they went and made this idol of a golden calf, and they're going to pay for it. They made the idol to be to them a god. They wanted, like the Egyptians, you got to have a god, some kind of image, likeness in front of you when you go. That's what you got to do. Now, having said that, over to Psalm 106. Coming back here, Psalm 106. And if I may, a commentary, God's own commentary. Psalm 106, may I pick up the history understood for us, given for us. Okay. Sliding down to verse 18. And a fire was kindled in their company, and the flame burned up the wicked, the bad guys, because they made a calf in Horeb, that's what we just read, Exodus 32, and worshipped the molten image made out of gold. And thus, what did they do? What was happening? They changed, verse 20, they changed their glory. God was their glory. God made the people of Israel great. And they changed, verse 20, their glory into the similitude or likeness of an ox that eateth grass. Verse 21, they forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. They forgot it all. They put it aside in one moment of time. They put it aside and gave themselves enthusiastically to that golden calf. That's what they did. And they're going to pay for it. They're going to pay dearly for it. And if Moses doesn't intercede, you can bet your boots, like God said more than once, I'll remove everyone I took out of Egypt. I'll start all over again. And God has no problem doing that. I'll remove all of the people. I'll start all over again. Time is no problem for God. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, glory. And are you still, finger in 32, 33, you're still there, good. Hang on, go with me, you need to go. You don't need to, but you should. Romans chapter 1. I want you to notice two words. You know them anyway. Romans chapter 1. And may I go directly, we mentioned it in Sunday school, may I go directly to verse 20. For the invisible things, Romans 1:20. Visible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, flowers, bugs, birds, by the things that are made. Even eternal power, obviously, awesome power, to make even your body in the 12 systems. And the Godhead, God's wonderful person, his awesomeness, so that they were without excuse. But, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they just mentioned it, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, their thought process, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, verse 23, and changed the glory of God, glory of the uncorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping. They got into idolatry. They took God's glorious, profound, awesome person and shrunk him to a calf. You have to have the comparison. God who made it all. You shrunk him to a calf and called it God. But you see, that's crazy. Listen, we're doing crazy things right now in our world, and it doesn't even make sense what they're doing. But it doesn't need to make sense. As long as you're comfortable that it doesn't need to make sense, you're all set with everything, because nothing needs to make sense. Now, having said that, back over to Exodus. My point, a point. Exodus 33. Now Moses intercedes and saves them. Because he said, what's the Egyptians going to say? You brought them all out? You brought them all out? I'll read it. Exodus 32, verse 12. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out? God brought them out to hurt them, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy wrath, fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. In other words, the Egyptians are going to use it to speak against God. And Moses has got it, and of course God is looking for that out of him to express, do you understand, Moses, what has to be done and how it's done? And Moses said, I do. The Egyptians are going to speak badly about this. So God backed off, understandably, because God knew that. He was going to do it. Therefore, chapter 33. Now they're still in Mount Sinai. They got to go from Mount Sinai to the wilderness. Okay. Chapter 33, now, I take time. Verse 2, I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites, and the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivite, and Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. 4, I will, N-O-T, not go up in the midst of thee. For reason why not? 4, thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. I don't want to be near you, or else I'll get so angry, I'll eliminate you. So you go ahead and go. You go ahead without me. You got that part? Go ahead. Now here's the disciples, upper room. The Lord Jesus said, if he said it then, he didn't. You just go ahead, guys. I'm going to die on Calvary's cross, and pretty soon you'll die. And when you die, we'll all be together, okay? Isn't that great encouragement? When you die, we'll all get there together. He didn't do that. So Moses, God said, back to understand, Moses said, is going to what? God isn't going to go with us. Well, how did you get out of Egypt? God brought them across the Red Sea. How did you get to Mount Sinai? God brought them there. There's no water, there's no food. God brought all of that, made all of that happen, and kept them. In the process, what's at Mount Sinai? You spoke to them person face to face. They all heard God speak. That's what they did. Deuteronomy chapter 5. They all heard him speak. Therefore, Moses, they got to think like Moses. Moses said, listen, we only got this far because of you, God. Therefore, chapter 33, picking up if I can. May I go directly. Moses has found grace in God's wonderful grace. I'll read verse 12, I guess I have to. And Moses said unto the Lord, 33:12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wouldst send with me. Now that Moses once said, well, if you aren't going to go, God, who is? Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in thy sight. So Moses said, at least God, in your grace I can talk to you and look to you. Verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, grace gives the open door, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Now I need to know you, God, your deep, profound, awesomeness, God. Crossing the Red Sea was awesome, to say the least. Wow. So now, verse 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. The word presence is the word to be in the presence of, the word before, to be before somebody, and translated face. The word face, Hebrew, faces, plural, every time. Every time it's used, plural, faces. You'll pick it up, look at your Bible, 33, and in verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle of the tent. The tabernacle isn't built yet. This is the tent of meeting, Moses' tent, where outside the camp, where Moses goes to meet with God. So that's what they did. Joshua stayed in the tent. Now, having said that, so Moses, what are you saying? In verse 14, my presence, God said, my presence, my face will go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Now, Moses, you done got it. He's right there. He's right there. Moses isn't messing around. Nope, you need to, boy, God loves it that way. Verse 15, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. God, if you aren't going to go, presence, your face, face to face. I'm not going anywhere without you, God. I'm not going anywhere without you. Do you ever say that? God, I'm not going without you. I want you ahead of me, behind me, under me, around me, left, right. I'm not going anywhere, God, without you. Say that. That's true, but you want to do it. I don't want to go, God, without you. I don't want to take off on my own. This is my thought. This is my dream. This is what I'm going to do. I don't even want to eat lunch without you, God. First Timothy 4. You set apart the food by what? Believing and saying thank you. That's what you do. That's what you do, and you did that. God didn't ask whether you had a green pizza or an orange pizza. He didn't ask. He just said, pray and set it apart, whatever you like. That's what you did, believe. Now, having said that, I'm not going to go, God, without you. I don't want to eat without you, as it were. Yeah, God, I want to eat. Wow. And therefore, Therefore, verse 15, for herein shall it be known that here, that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. We are a separate people. We are not to be. Remember now, they don't belong. They're a nation, God's nation. They don't belong to the UN. They don't belong to the Council of Nations. They aren't parliament. Nope, they're God's. God's people, God's nation. They don't belong, and they can't. They try. They would like to, but they can't because they belong to God. When you truly get saved, truly saved, you belong to God in a most awesome way. The devil can't have you. He may want you, but he can't. And the world may want you. They can't have you. You can try to fit in, but you'll know you'll never belong. You'll never belong. You'll never be happy. You don't belong there anymore. You belong to God, wonderfully to God. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, God, you got to go with us. Unless you go with us, I'm not going anywhere. Therefore, verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. So Moses is real happy. God's going to go with him, and that's the only way to go. That's the only way they can make it through 38 years in the wilderness. It's the only way they can do it. Verse 18 again. And he said, I beseech thee, Moses, what are you going to say? He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, you have to pick that up. Moses in the middle with God, face to face. He's very sensitive to God. He just went through from Mount Sinai, up from the mountain, coming down, the golden calf, the judgment, breaking the commandments, throwing them down and breaking them. He's very, very God. And God, and they knows they're supposed to be going to the land of Egypt, Palestine, I should say. That's where they're headed, to Jerusalem, as it were. Wow. Now Moses knows that. Now God, you have to be sent. The average person, if I said the average person in a planet, on our planet, if I said, tell me about God, tell me about your God. I'd like to hear about your God. Now, what kind of explanation, what kind of communication would I get from the average person, usually, about God? Tell me. I want to have a profoundness, the depth, the awesomeness of God. Tell me about, I don't know. Let me see. I don't know. Oh, no. Are you interested in his glory? No, no. The disciples in the upper room are in dire straits. So this is no picnic. The thing is ending. Christ is going to be crucified for real. Wow. Moses, it's for real. What's for real? God's for real. And back to the disciples. They can't have to think of, they aren't giving something to think about. God said, let me give you a word of encouragement about your future. He didn't do that. No, that's nice. And we'll think about it. And you go out to the garden and crucifixion and we'll think about it. No, it was critical. They needed an awesome transaction between God. And here's Moses having this awesome transaction. God's going to go with them. God, the one who's brought them up, Moses on the Exodus 3 on the burning bush. Moses, I am that I am. Wow. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're God. Wow. And here's the Red Sea, and here they are, all those years at the Mount Sinai, I should say. And wow, what a journey. But he's awakened. The disciples in the upper room are awakened by the terrible what they think they're going to face. Moses is awakened because of the grace of God is going to continue being gracious. Therefore, show me thy glory. Moses, you got it. He do. God, you're something else. You're profound, awesome, very deep God. Wow. See, the disciples are going to catch that, but they're going to have to wait till Pentecost. Moses is already on the right page, and he stirred up what? Have faith in God, be inspired. Wow. So therefore, show me thy glory. Verse 19. And he said, 33:19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, in thy presence before, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Mm-hmm. And God, you're going to do what you're going to do. That's right. And he said, verse 20, thou canst not see my face. There's the word face, presence. Go before me, go in thy presence. Remember verse 14, my presence shall go with thee. Over if I can, verse 20, my face, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. No one can see me. I am the infinite one, invisible one. There are no measurements. Everything in forever is in the middle of me. There's nothing outside of me, nothing out here. Everything's in the middle. You can't see my face. You can't see my face. Glory. You want to see glory? Aha! Wow. Now, and you know, no one shall see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and I shall, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Upon a rock. Now, what are you going to do, God? Here's God. God's going to have Moses up there on the mount. He's going to stand on the rock, and that's what he wants to see, God's glory, but he can't. So therefore, verse 22, it shall come to pass, while my glory, there's your word, passes by, that I will put my faith thee, I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. I'm not only going to push you into this cave, this opening, I'm going to push you into the opening so you can't be outside, and then to make sure you can make it, I'm going to put my hand in front of the door so nothing can get in. Now watch. Think of all the statements God makes in his word. I will keep thee in thy right hand. I hold thy, my right hand holds thee. John 10:30. I and my Father's hand are one. No one's going to, my hand. I'm going to do my hand. My hand's going to be there. You have to just imagine. You can't, God's just gone. Wow. Now, so therefore, hide me upon a rock. Verse 22. It shall come to pass that while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, my back, my after part, coming behind. In other words, I'm going to let everything take place, and when everything's passed by you, I'm going to take my hand away, and you can see the dust from my feet, as it were. You can't see me. I'm just going to give you the residue, the dust that I'm passed by. Whoop! See the wind coming by. You can have that. You can see that, Moses. You can see that. That's all I'm going to show you. That's all you can afford to do. And verse 23, I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face, presence, I'll go with you, but you shall not, it shall not be seen. So God, you're going to go with us. Now, what do we know? What do we know about all of that? Well, what do we know about Moses to help us with that? Over, if you would please, to Hebrews. And Hebrews in chapter 11. Hebrews in chapter 11, the commentary on all of the wonderful heroes who believed God by faith. Have faith in God. That's what they did. Chapter 11, all those that had faith in God. God did all kinds of things. Chapter 11, about Moses. You know it. Sliding over to verse 26. Esteemed the approach of Christ, I'll read 25, about Moses, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of God for a season. Esteeming the approach of Christ greater than the riches than the treasures of Egypt, which is awesome. And Moses, you had access to them, but you ran out of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense payment of the reward. God. Is it pay to follow God? Is it pay to listen to God? It's glorious to pay to listen to God. Moses, you don't lose it all the way to the end. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and he endured. Now Moses, 40 years old he leaves, 40 years in the wilderness with a handful of sheep, and then 40 years more at the burning bush and Moses and all the wilderness journey. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You can't see me. There's no way to see my face. I'll let you see. God, you're awesome. God said, I am awesome. Awesome, profound, deep. What are you telling? Be inspired by who you are. Be inspired by who you are. Wow, wow, wow. Be inspired. Over to 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Just a point, because I got to quit. You got the idea a little bit? Now Moses. Now the disciples, Moses got it, and the disciples are going to get it. That's the point. What is the encouragement they need? To understand God's awesomeness, his glory. God is glorious. That's what you need to understand. Are you understanding that in your heart? Wow. 1 Timothy chapter 6, picking up please, in verse 15. And which in times past, his times, he shall show, 1 Timothy 6, 15, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. That's what you say to the only wise God. Look at chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, 1:17, 1 Timothy, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory for how long? Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Wow. Wonderful, wonderful. Now, we got that a little bit. The disciples are given the best encouragement you could ever have. God said, I'm going to be who I am to you. Isn't that enough? I'm going to be who I am to you. That should be enough. That's glorious. See? No buts. I'm content. Enough. Enough. Now, if I can, 2 Corinthians, in closing. I shouldn't say that. But 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. Chapter 4, better. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, be reminded of this easy, wonderful way to say it. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, remember, no man can see, my light's too great, shine out of darkness, hath shined where? In our hearts. That's God. I couldn't. No, God, you're going to help me understand. You're the only Lord and Savior. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What are you saying, Lord, in the upper room as you talk to God the Father? And they're looking in his face. The glory of God. They're going to get saved. And in their face, the glory of God. Whatever we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, what? To the glory of God. God's a great God. And we honor him because he's glorious. And I honor God, you honor God. We're looking to God to do his awesome thing. And what's glory? God, how are you going to help me get through the day, the month, the year, the minute? Looking to you. Have faith in God. Let God be the inspiration for your perspiration. Let God stir your heart in his profoundness, his depth. He's God. Wonder, fear, reverence, profound awe. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your work. Help us understand a little bit that God is the way to go, God. And you, Moses, showed us the way, and it was an exciting way, and Moses found it out. But it cost Moses, because the world was troubled and in trouble back then, and that it is now compared to then. And our God, and Moses had to trust you all the way through. And what are we going to do? Trust you all the way through. We haven't finished yet. We're still here breathing. So God, as long as we're breathing, we got to be believing. And as long as we're believing, we're going to enjoy breathing. And breathing is going to help us to enjoy believing. So God, we're going to trust you and go and help us in every way. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, convict, convince them that they might receive you, even as was just noted in your word. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And our God, we look to you to deal with us. Give safety, encouragement in every way, God. Thank you. We haven't even got out the door, and you're out there. And we haven't even gone down the road, and you're already there. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.